Welcome to the One Hop Podcast. Our goal for this podcast is to equip you to live a life of prayer, individually and corporately. God is raising up watchmen, these communities of intercessors around the globe, and we have such a privilege in Omaha to join the Lord in rebuilding David's fallen tent for ceaseless prayer and worship to rise as an incense before him. We're so glad that you joined us today. All right, well, we are here in the early stages of May, very excited because flowers are in bloom, trees are in bloom. My son is happy because allergy season is almost over because it's almost full on. Trees have their leaves and all that good stuff. So.
I'm literally like perpetual crying for like weeks, like because my allergies are so
dripping.
Bad.
Yeah, perpetual
yeah.
dripping.
Yeah, it's not fun. So many boxes of Kleenexes. So yes, I am too glad that it's almost over.
We went. Lindsay and I went. My daughter and I went to the farmer's market on Saturday. Oh, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. First farmer's market of the season. Yes. So that in itself was exciting. And I bought another. I buy a large container of honey from Nebraska farms, local farms.
Oh, okay.
So that it's really helped with Jonathan with his allergies. So I just got my next $7 bottle of Nebraska Farm honey, and we're ready to rock and roll. And then I spent a whole lot of money on all these other things that I didn't need, but it was at the farmer's market.
Farmer's market. I love it.
And it just, it's like you go on vacation. It, like, sucks you in.
Yeah.
What do you mean a bag of chips for $9? That makes perfect sense. What do you mean a loaf of bread for $7? That makes perfect sense. And I'm driving home thinking, oh my goodness, it's literally like being on vacation. Yeah. I was like in a whole nother, it's vacation spending money.
Well, when you live in West Omaha and drive all the way downtown, it kind of is a vacation.
It was like a vacation. Obviously, Drew, you haven't enjoyed the farmer's market.
I have not been to the farmer's market. I've only been a couple times in Lincoln.
You've never been to the one here in Omaha?
No, I never have been.
Well, you will love it, especially your embracing of all your growing of your own food.
Yes, maybe I can sell my own food there.
You go. You can take a look.
If that garden works out.
Yeah, take a look. Although it really is fun because I have to say we didn't go to any of those, like, where they're selling, you know, oregano and basil and all that. We just went to,
The pastries and the bread.
Lindsay goes, I come here because there's my favorite donuts. So we went right over to the pastries. They have like some little craft areas. We hit all of those.
Yeah.
Didn't get to any of the actual farmer's market items.
Yes.
They have wonderful greens. Anyway, so.
Yeah, so that's,
really
we can maybe talk about that in another podcast. Yeah. So we were, last week was National Day of Prayer, and we were part of the city church gathering together to pray on May 5th. And it was such a great time just being together with all the different expressions of the church here in the city of Omaha. And I was chatting with some of my friends who have been intercessors in this city for a really long time. And we were saying that the last several years, it's just really been an amazing shift in our city of oneness, where literally the churches in the city are coming together and praying and sharing and doing worship. So I know that, you know, every one of us have a different expression, but just the joy of being together and carrying these things before the Lord, these topics that are so on his heart. I don't know. I left Thursday with my heart just really full of just gathering together with others who are part of his body here in the city of Omaha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was encouraging just seeing people from, like, what was it, 12 different churches, different ministries?
Yeah, I think there were 15 or 16.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Because they were partnering together.
That's right, they were partnering.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really appreciated seeing, and like, well, for me, there was churches that I was like, oh, I didn't even know.
Yes, right.
But I'm like, yeah, you're kind of cool. Like,
yeah.
I just thought it was fun.
Yes, I agree. And just carrying all these things before the Lord. I loved there was one of the churches that came. It was and I know I've told you guys this. There were a lot of, I call them young people. Maybe they weren't as young as what I'm thinking. But coming in with their Bibles.
Yeah.
And I went home and I told my son, I said, John, these people came in like with their Bibles, not their Bible app,
yeah,
but with their Bibles and pens, and they were mm-hmm. fully engaged in prayer. And mm-hmm. I don't know, it just made my heart really happy.
So yeah, I think it was such a great thing for our city to have that expression come together with the many different churches to just spend a day bathing our mm-hmm. nation in prayer. So for this month's focus that we are going to be doing on the podcast, we're actually going to be talking about prayer and missions and how the two cannot be separated and have to go together, and what it looks like to partner intercession and missions together. So stay tuned and we will jump right in.
Talking about prayer and missions, and we thought it was interesting to talk about this subject because a lot of people in the body of Christ view prayer and missions as completely separate. Mm. And so there are the praying people mm-hmm. and there are the missions people or the doing people or the going people. And there's really been a disconnect between missions, the acts of working for justice issues, and being sent ones and going out and being ministers of the gospel, and the intercessors who are the ones who pray for those things to happen, or who are praying for intimacy with God or for revival in our generation or et cetera, and different other topics. And what we want to convince you of today is that prayer and missions are one in the Lord's heart. Mm-hmm. That when the Lord looks at the body, he doesn't separate them in two categories, the intercessors and the missionaries. He looks at his body as one body, mm-hmm. As he does with every other category we could distinguish ourselves as. But prayer and missions are one in the Lord's heart. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about how prayer and missions impact each other, and how, as Nicole had said earlier, that they really are inseparable, that we can't tease them apart and look at them as individual things that you know, are separate from each other, but they really have to be interconnected mm-hmm. in order for both prayer to work as well as for missions to work.
Mm-hmm. I love what you're saying, Drew. In Luke 18, 7 and 8, we see the scripture, "Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly." That there is this prayer has to be the foundation so that the works of justice, and missions is part of mm-hmm. justice, mm-hmm. that all would know his name, that will have their full impact. And as we cry out as the intercessors, there's such a power of God that's then released on the works of justice that is absent when missions is apart mm-hmm. from prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people have seen missions as the mm-hmm. real work.
Right. I agree.
Or any act of justice that mm-hmm. you're working towards, or any kind of idea of being sent, or just any work in general, really is the real work, and prayer is not as important, mm-hmm. or prayer is something that you do personally but not corporately, or mm-hmm. or et cetera, et cetera. And what Jesus says in that parable yeah. and other areas as well is that the foundation of missions, of any other working, mm-hmm. is prayer. Mm-hmm. And without... kind of the implication of that parable is that without day and night prayer, there is no justice. Mm-hmm. And that you can seek justice on your own means, but without the foundation of prayer, of night and day prayer, then justice doesn't come forth in the same way. Mm-hmm. It's not achieved. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we see, every one of us sees ourselves as both intercessors and as missionaries, as ones who are commanded by the Lord to do mm-hmm. both. Because, of course, we can't say we're only intercessors praying for justice without actually right. doing anything.
Right.
And we also can't be ones who do something without praying either. We have to see ourselves as both, and because the Lord commands us to do both. Mm-hmm. And from that place, we will experience so much more, mm-hmm. and the outcomes will be so much greater.
Mm-hmm. Amen. As we do both right. of those.
Well, yeah, because otherwise you can't launch into an act of justice or being a missionary anywhere, whether mm-hmm. it's domestic or international, on your own strength. You cannot do it. And if we go into other countries with our own thoughts and our own ideas of what acts of justice need to be done and what as a missionary needs to be done, and you don't go with the Lord's heart, you're wrong. Like, you cannot do that. Because the Lord knows what that people group needs. The Lord created them. He created their heart. He created their, and whether or not their culture is, you know, honoring to the Lord, that we can't just go in with that mentality that we're going. And so that has been a downfall in the missions world that I've seen personally of when we go in with our own agenda. And so I think for me, this verse speaks so clearly of when you're crying out day and night, you're getting God's heart for those people. Right. And you are asking him diligently how to effectively create change in people's hearts and how to effectively bring the gospel into a dark place. And so when you are touching God's heart for a people group, of course he's going to give you wisdom. Yeah. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to give you what you need to reach his people. And so that's what I see absolutely coming from that 24/7, intercession is where we get a hold of God's heart and we can effectively do missions.
I think the other thing that is important about mixing prayer and missions together is one of the unfortunate realities of the modern missions movement is that so many missionaries get burned out. And the being a missionary is so difficult emotionally, physically, oftentimes, spiritually,
mentally,
that there's so many obstacles to overcome in order to even be a missionary, and then to actually work in missions overseas or even domestically. There's so many obstacles that you continually have to face on a daily basis. And if you're not connected to the Lord's heart in prayer and you're just doing all the time, you're going to get burned out. And you're going to eventually come to the conclusion, why am I doing what I'm doing? This must not matter to the Lord because he's not helping me overcome all of these different obstacles and crises that I'm facing every single day. And so missionaries quit and get burned out and quit. And so when missionaries are connected to the Lord's heart, when anyone is connected to the Lord's heart, outside of even the what we think of as the missions movement, if anyone's connected to the Lord's heart, then they understand his love for them. They understand how he feels about them, how he feels about the people that they're serving. And they have more insight from the Lord, like you said, to be able to reach those people. And so the work becomes more efficient even. And it becomes easier. And there's not so many obstacles to overcome because you actually care about the people. You're not just looking down them for being wrong. And so mixing the two is important for that respect as well as to just not burn out. And so that our missions move is actually more effective for long term, for decades, instead of just a short burst of energy for a year or two.
That's good. That's really good. And there is that place of power as well, that when we are connected to the Lord's heart, and I think you said something like we get to see them the way that Jesus sees them. We have an understanding of who they are in the purposes of God, but with that comes this power because you're connected to the creator of all the universe, the one who created them. So there is a power element that is missing if missions or any justice movement is set aside from prayer.
And it's not just the missionaries who need to be connected to the Lord's heart. You know, as one thing I think that we forget about, you know, if you're not on the mission field, it's easy to not know these things. But in order for a missionary to succeed, they have to have a group of people praying for them. Like, and so even in that, the sent ones are not the ones who need to be pairing missions and prayer together. It's all of us in the body. We need to be carrying those who have said yes to the call to go, you know, and covering them in prayer and covering them and, you know, and just seeking the Lord on their behalf. And so that element of power can be released.
Good. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will really release that element of power, that element of just boldness on them and breakthrough in different areas. Because when you're in the midst of it, like you were talking about, Drew, when you're in the midst of it, it's kind of that Moses and Aaron and Hur thing. Mm-hmm. Like, without Aaron and Hur raising his arms, Moses, you know, they lost. The battle would have been lost. And so often missionaries who are in hard spots, hard areas of the world, if you don't have other people coming alongside you on the field, but off the field also, just covering you in prayer and encouraging you, the battle will be lost. The enemy will take ground. And so as a body of Christ, this is something that we need to take hold of. And for the gospel to advance, for the ends of the earth to be reached, we have to stand as intercessors for the missions movement and for missionaries in general.
Well, and I think, you know, I love watching over the years that YWAM has noticed, Youth with a Mission has noticed the importance that nothing can happen in the missions movement without without the prayer movement. So YWAM partnering with IHOP, you know, just to be able to propel the gospel forward. So that is, I hope we've laid some sort of a foundation.
Definitely.
Drew, what you said in the beginning is we want to convince you. So hopefully we're on the way of convincing our listeners of the importance of the missions and prayer being together. All right, well, we're going to take just a couple minutes and I'm going to talk about a tool for the prayer room. And this one's going to be a little different than we've done in the past, but I'm going to talk about some apps that you can get on your phone or even like look them up on a laptop on a website. And one of them is called the Joshua Project, and this is all related to prayer and missions. And as you sit in the prayer room, or as we here sit in the prayer room, there are a few ways we can just connect to pray for an unreached people group or to pray for those who need the gospel advanced. The Joshua Project is one of the apps, and that is, it's so great. Every day there's an unreached people group, and you can click on the country, or you can scroll down depending upon your phone, and it gives like statistics of the country itself, the people group in that country. It lets you know if they have a Bible in their language, Old Testament, New Testament. Lets you know if the Jesus movie has been made in their language, and just some other, like if they have different types of media that are reaching that that unreached people group or ready to go. So just a great, it's an awesome resource to be able to go and pray. And I have to say, as I do it every day, I pretty much have not heard of most of the unreached people groups that I'm praying for. I feel like it's just such a great resource for my own heart personally to be able to connect with the Lord to these that need the voice of heaven released over their tribe or over their nation. Then another app that I have is the Voice of the Martyrs, and it's VOM, just the abbreviation, and that is praying specifically for the persecuted church. So really just lifting up those in different nations that have closed or restricted and just kind of bringing them before the Lord and asking for God to break in. And again, there's ways that you can click on it to get a little more information so you pray with some more insight and knowledge. And then there are several different resources that we have found. The Seed Company, Wycliffe, and SIL are all Bible translator websites. You can also get them as apps on your phone as well. And you can sign up to pray for a Bible-less people, that the Lord would really encourage and equip people to get the Bible in as many languages quickly so that the Word of God can be known in the different areas around the world. So that's Seed Company, Wycliffe, and SIL, and those are really linguist missionaries, Bible translators, for the layperson like me. And then the other couple that I shared were the Joshua Project, which is an app, and VOM, which is Voice of the Martyrs. So see if you can pick those up on your phone, and those will just be an added tool for you in your secret place time in your own personal prayer room, or as you join us corporately in the prayer room.
So we're going to continue talking about why prayer and missions should be incorporated with one another, and how we do that practically, and all the other things involved in that effect. And so I know that we've talked a little bit about why it's important for missionaries to be involved in prayer. And I think one of the things that I wanted to just touch on that real quick, in addition, is the fear of, I think, a lot of workers is that if they spend time in prayer, then they are shortchanging their time in working in justice. And they feel like they can't take time to pray because there's so much work to be done. And I think the answer to that is that the time spent in prayer will yield more time, and it'll yield more effectiveness and efficiency with the rest of the work. So it's not going to be time wasted. It's actually going to be time that is well spent. And so I definitely encourage workers to do that. But I also think that it's important for us to talk about why it's important for intercessors and for those who are more bent on prayer to be involved in missions. And I think it's easy for intercessors, especially in decades past, to separate themselves from many of the other parts of the body of Christ and to hold themselves up in their prayer room or their prayer closet or whatever and really just become kind of disengaged from the rest of the body. And as intercessors, we can't do that, obviously. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about why it's so important for intercessors to be involved in missions.
Okay.
You can pause.
I hear what you're saying, Drew, and that makes total sense. So one thing that I think of when I think of intercessors being involved in missions is, well, it's a here and there thing. It's, you know, missions in your home, in your city, in your state, in your country, and to the ends of the earth. It's not a then process, it's an and. And so there's many different ways for intercessors to get involved with missions or works of justice. I think that a really great place to start is at your local church. Wherever you are connected in the body of Christ, most churches have some form of a missions committee, a missions branch of their church. So whether that's there's missionaries sent from your actual congregation, whether that's your congregation partners with different local and international mission agencies. And so as intercessors, holding up missionaries in prayer or the work that they're doing is very vital, like we were saying earlier. And so oftentimes they have, churches will have a list of missionaries that you can, like, adopt as to pray for. Or getting involved in local acts of justice mission projects in your city. So whether it's a homeless shelter or working with kids in an after-school program, like very, very basic, very simple things that are acts of justice and a mission mindset, a mission movement. Or on the state level, I know that there's many states who actually have outreaches depending on where you're at. I know there are outreaches to local Native American tribes on different reservations in Nebraska and in states that surround us that have reservations still. And so there's really basic ways to get involved in a tangible sense, but also carrying those people and those topics in as you're praying as as an intercessor or you know there I mean there's so many getting involved in praying for human trafficking getting involved with Bound for Life, which is an organization that prays at the government level for the ending of abortion in our nation and around the world. And so there are so many ways that we can tangibly connect to God's heart with acts mm-hmm. of justice, but also being faithful in intercession and praying for those things. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. kind of just...
Mm-hmm. Well, and I just personally, what I love is happening at the Hope Center here in Omaha, mm-hmm. and then there's a Hope Center in Fremont. Every person that's on staff there is assigned an intercessor. So I have the privilege to pray for one of the staff out at Hope Center Fremont, where mm-hmm. my husband mm-hmm. volunteers and serves. And so I get to carry her mm-hmm. before the Lord mm-hmm. As she's ministering the gospel
yes.
to children in Fremont who may not mm-hmm. know the gospel. Mm-hmm. So as we're looking at just yeah. something tangibly in our own city, in our own area, that's something that I get to do in yeah. the prayer room.
Even praying for your pastor, we forget mm-hmm. about that. And they are the front, yeah. they're in the front lines here, and they need our covering as intercessors, as they are day in and day out leading their congregation. And just for in strength and encouragement mm-hmm. and that they would continue to preach with boldness. And mm-hmm. and so I think that that's even another thing. Mm-hmm. Staff members of local churches and local organizations and mm-hmm. global mm-hmm. also.
Well, and even in that, and I mean, we haven't even talked about this, but last week when we were praying during our Malachi 4:6 set, and we were kind of looking at, there's like 913 kids mm-hmm. that need to be, that are available for adoption.
Yeah.
I started thinking, what if there was an intercessor assigned to every child?
Yeah.
To just start praying, God, would you bring forth your justice in the mm-hmm. way of allowing these kids to be set in families? And yeah. I mean, I think there's a number of ways that we can pray
yeah.
for missionaries, pray mm-hmm. for what God's doing on the globe. Mm-hmm. And really partner with him, whether we feel the call to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's not an excuse, because I know what we do outside the prayer room is essential to what occurs in mm-hmm. it. So that from the place of prayer, as we cry out, I yeah. do think we get burdened with a nation.
Absolutely.
We get burdened with a people group.
Absolutely.
We get burdened with, those who, little ones, mm-hmm. those who may not hear mm-hmm. or have heard the gospel of Jesus. I just read last week, in my Voice of the Martyrs magazine, that China is kind of open to the gospel. You know, they have their mm-hmm. approved mm-hmm. churches, mm-hmm. but there is a law written in China that no child under the age of 18 can go to a church, can be mm-hmm. taught about Jesus. There's no Sunday school. Nothing mm-hmm. is allowed. So I started praying. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, now I'm going to just start praying yeah. for the kids in China, because that, of course, is one of my burdens is the children, that they would come to know Jesus. So in that, I feel like I'm not going to China, but I can carry them mm-hmm. in my heart before the Lord in the prayer room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important as intercessors to understand that prayer is so much bigger than our own little prayer room.
Yeah.
That as we're in the prayer room, praying for different nations, that the Lord really gives authority mm-hmm. over nations, and he really moves in those nations as we pray for those things, and as we pray for acts of injustice, the Lord really moves, mm-hmm. that it really does matter. And so if intercessors are not involved or not staying up mm-hmm. to date with what actually goes on in the rest of the world outside of the prayer room, then we will miss out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the rest of the world will miss out, that there's such a deep connection. And as intercessors and as the rest of the body, we're also involved in sending
mm-hmm, right
those out. And so whether that's ourselves from the place of prayer mm-hmm. or others, we have a responsibility in sending and asking the Lord to send, like Matthew 9, asking mm-hmm. the Lord of the harvest mm-hmm, to send out laborers, and then being involved in sending them out and equipping them with the necessary tools or with mm-hmm. the finances or partnering with them in prayer and mm-hmm. all that things and all that's necessary in doing the work of missions mm-hmm. from a place of prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think related to that is the idea that we know that the Lord desires night and day prayer mm-hmm. Across the earth, and that the culmination of missions really is night and day prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That at the end of missions, when mission ceases to be necessary, when all of the world is reached, when mm-hmm. all of the world knows about the Lord, then the culmination of all of that is night and day prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so as missionaries and as intercessors, we have to realize that at the end of missions, mm-hmm. is prayer and worship mm-hmm. before the Lord. And of course, the Lord talks about that in many passages in Malachi 1, in Luke 18, right. in Revelation 7, in Isaiah 62 and 42. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things, and to kind of break that down a little bit more clearly, and of course we'll go into a lot more detail in our next podcast, but is the kind of the three frontiers in seeing that happen, mm-hmm. and seeing night and day prayer on the whole earth. And so that would be the linguistic frontier, mm-hmm. The geographic frontier, and the time frontier. Mm-hmm. And so the linguistic frontier would really be the languages. And there are over almost 7,000 languages that are spoken around the world today. And of those 7,000 languages, only about 40% of those languages have the gospel translated portions of the gospel translated mm-hmm. into those language. So there's current Bible translation projects like mm-hmm. That was mentioned in our tool today from the Seed Company and Wycliffe, about 2,000 languages that they're working on Bible translation projects, and there's about 1,500 that have no project whatsoever. And so it's important that as we understand the linguistic frontier, that there's many people who have mm-hmm. no understanding of the scriptures in their own language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a part of missions that we often mm-hmm. don't talk about yeah. a lot, but it's necessary for us to be equipping the linguists and the Bible translators
yeah.
With the necessary finances, with the necessary time and et cetera, and training, as well as prayer. One thing that I found interesting as I heard someone from the Seed Company talk at a conference that I was at, they had talked about how they have, you know, the 2,000 projects that they have, the 2,000 languages that they're translating. And of those projects, they can see at the end of the year which projects have people that are praying for that project and mm-hmm. which ones don't, because the ones that do progress so much faster. Mm. And so I thought it was really interesting that they have an extreme value on prayer, because they see the fruitfulness when people pray for certain projects and certain missionaries working on those projects, then those projects go so much faster and the translation work is done so much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's definitely a necessary component as we look at the end goal of prayer and worship being worldwide. That everyone has to be able to do it in their own language. Mm-hmm. If they don't have, if they cannot pray and worship mm-hmm. in their own language because mm-hmm. they don't have understanding of the mm-hmm. scriptures, then we'll never reach that goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of maybe give a fun insight here, in January 2015, I was able to be a part of a language dedication project.
Oh, wow.
And, I've never seen anything like it before, where there is like hundreds of people smashed into this church to be a part of a dedication of the New Testament of the Songhai language in Mali, and the reverence that they had for this Bible, and the fact that they were able to hold this book in their hand, and for the first time ever, I mean, it's 2015, for the first time ever, to be able to read the Gospels, the whole New Testament, in their native tongue, and the joy and the immense pleasure that they had in that this was actually available to them, as these were a people group who had been overtaken by rebels, and the language project was delayed because of. And so there's so many aspects when you are in a tribe, when you're in a village, and the oppression and the enemy trying so hard to end these Bible translations, so hard he's fighting that they wouldn't have their language in a Bible in their language. And so as we are just thinking about this linguistic frontier, the fact of that these people are, for the first time, are able, we have never experienced that in the English language. We've never had an understanding of what it is to not grab our Bible and to be able to understand it. And as one who sat in church service for over a year and didn't fully understand a language that was being spoken, I can't even imagine not being able to read what God was saying to me in my own heart language and to be able to understand it and to hear God speak to me through it. It is the most necessary thing that we need to be lifting up these Bible translators and funding it and pushing as hard as we can to get these languages translated, because this is where we're going to see immense breakthrough in the area of prayer explode across the world.
That's really, thanks for that personal. That makes it so, that makes it so real. And to think that we just take it so for granted what we have in our own language, in our many, many translations as we sit in the prayer room looking it up on the Bible app.
So, of course, we've talked a little bit about the linguistic frontier and why that's important in the area of prayer and missions. And as I mentioned, the other two frontiers, the time frontier and the geographic frontier on reaching day and night to the ends of the earth. Of course, we'll discuss that in more detail on our next podcast. So make sure to stay tuned for our next podcast. And we hope that you have been encouraged and at least a little bit convinced that prayer and missions should be incorporated with one another, and that we should see ourselves all as both missionaries or workers as well as intercessors. And so tune in for our next podcast, and we will see you then.